Okay, today is February the 16th, is that right? Well, I got the month right. I mean the date right. I got something right, didn't I? Okay, let's prepare ourselves in our usual fashion. We'll have a few moments of silent prayer. The option of naming privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are God that answers our prayers. We pray for our president. We pray for his administration. We pray for the churches that they will stand up for truth and righteousness as well as each individual. The time is short, and we pray that we will recognize that fact and double our efforts to be good and faithful servants to you. We also pray that you'll help us to focus and concentrate this evening, for we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. I've got a few little things that I've been looking over recently that I thought I would share with you. And let's see. I didn't put my mouse in. It's not good to get old and need glasses. Okay. Okay. There are a couple of bills that are going through the Texas legislature that I think that we all need to be aware of. We are still somewhat reeling from the previous administration and some of the ungodly, unbiblical, and degenerate mandates that were given us. And I wanted to inform you of these and also exhort you to go to a particular website, and I'll give you more about that in just a moment. This is just something that I put together. It has to do with the Texas Privacy Act, SB8. That's what's going through the Texas legislature right now. And as I go through this, I'll explain some of it to you. Due to the City of San Antonio and Dripping Springs School Board, which are trying to implement Obama's transgender policy, which would allow men to go into women's restroom, dressing rooms, and showers, the governor, Greg Abbott, and Lieutenant Governor Patrick, what's his first name? Dan Patrick, are supporting the Texas Privacy Act, which will be voted on in Congress soon. They are both reacting to liberal city councils, liberal school boards, and the Obama administration's mandate forcing this gender free-for-all on all the public schools in America. So even though he's gone, people are still struggling under this, I would call it social tyranny or pressure at least. The whole point of Texas bill is to ensure that women and children have the privacy and security they deserve. In government buildings and schools, the measure would keep the common sense status quo, which is that people use restroom, showers, and locker rooms that match the gender of their birth certificate. despite what these celebrities, he was talking about celebrities. There's over 100 celebrities that are on the wrong side of this, and they are trying to foist this upon the nation. And that's why he, this part came from the article on Freedom, Family Research Council. And so he said, despite what these celebrities would have you believe, Texas legislation not only allows but encourages businesses to set their own bathroom policies. In fact, the bill would bar state and local officials from dictating to companies what those policies are. And if that isn't tolerance, what is? So what we're saying is that all that Texas is doing is trying to keep the status quo that we've had forever. And they're not even trying to mandate to the businesses what they must do. They can do whatever they want to do. But in public schools and in public buildings and government buildings and so forth, you will go to the restroom that's on your birth certificate. That's all. And that this is what people are so enraged about. I might even say that this comes about as a transgender issue, but in the mandate and the other things that have to do with it, they don't even say transgender. They say gender identity. And that opens it up even for Pandora's box is open then. Mm-hmm. Yes?
What was the number again, please?
It's SB6. Uh-huh.
Okay, I had it all together wrong. Thank you.
Now, there was another one in North Carolina that's called HB2. And they're kind of similar. And that is part of an article that I will show you y'all how to access. And I'll give you more information about that. With regards to these singers and stars, Lady Gaga, Sting, and Britney Spears have joined together with more than 100 actors and musicians who have united with the left's condemnation of the Texas Privacy Act and are actively involved in misinformation campaign to defeat it. And that's, you know, a lot of them come from California. I wish they'd keep their nose in California, but they're not. And this is part of the media. They join the media, who are all in accord in trying to have this country go insane with this gender identity nonsense. The NFL has threatened that if Texas Privacy Act passes, no Texas city will host the Super Bowl in the future again. Now, Governor Abbott challenged the NFL to make an announcement today that next season in all their stadiums, they're going to allow men into the ladies' restroom at any time. Because that's what they're trying to foist upon us. And yet, they won't do it in their stadiums. These businesses that are 100% behind this and touting it, none of those businesses have it either. So they're trying to force upon the people that which they don't even incorporate in their own businesses. And so I think that's great. Do you really think the NFL would ever in a million years make that decision that at all their NFL games that they're going to have men allowed into restrooms? They would go broke before the year was out. Because I don't know about you ladies, but I don't think if I was a lady, I would go to anything where I might have men in there gawking at me and so forth. So it shows the hypocrisy of this whole movement that is so vociferous, so rabid about how horrible it is that these poor transgenders have to go. It's not that they even have their own facility. They were offered. They said, well, we'll give them their own facility. No, that's discrimination. They have to go in with the women. And here's the thing. It's not the transgenders that is really the problem, because they're minuscule. Maybe, I don't know, 1/50th, 1%, something like that, many of the population. But what it does is open the door to all the perverts to go in there and say, well, I think I'm a woman, and they go in there and they wreak havoc. There have already been a lot of arrests with these guys that go in there and they're trying to take pictures. They're trying to, there's voyeurism. There's all kinds of horrible things going on. And so I'm very proud of our governor and lieutenant governor and even our attorney general. I think his Ken Paxton. All of them are on the right page and they're doing the right thing. They're leading the way. And we need to support them however we can, because the nation is watching Texas again to see what's going to happen. We already gave them what for one time in Houston already. And people are still talking about that. That's the largest city in the nation that, by the way, is majority Democrat, voted against. It was 61-39 percent that was voted it down. And I'm so thankful that's the case. But they haven't given up. This is continuing to go on. Roger Goodell is like the other corporate executives that threaten to stop doing business in states or cities that protect the privacy and safety of women and children from sexual predators. They are just hypocrites. Big time hypocrites. I don't know if y'all watched the Super Bowl or maybe at the end when they were giving the trophy. Did you notice when Roger Goodell got that trophy, how many people were booing? Did y'all notice that? I don't know how you could miss it. He ignored it like it wasn't happening. Big time booing was going on. He's the one that allows the players to not stand during the national anthem. And see, that is a private business. He has every right to tell them, either you stand for the national anthem or you go find another job somewhere else. He could do that, but he isn't doing it. And so I think maybe that's one reason he was booed. I'm not sure. Now, here's the thing I want to make sure that you get. There's an excellent video on this website. Now, write this website down. It's an easy address. It's FRC. Stands for Family Research Council. FRC.org/privacy. PRIVACY. So that's FRC.org/privacy. You put that in your search engine and go there, and you're going to see a video. And on that video, I would encourage you to watch it all the way through. It's very long. It's nearly an hour. But I watched it without stopping. It was very good, and it had a lot more information than I'm giving you here. For example, there was one lady on there that was she called herself a rape survivor, and she said that she worked at the YMCA. And she was in charge of kind of watching and checking to make sure there would be no sexual predators come in. And then the YMCA started adopting this transgender policy to where men could go into the women's and vice versa. YMCA, it started out Young Men's Christian Association. Shame on them for bowing the knee to Baal and taking on this transgender policy. So she started complaining, and they told her, what you need to do is shut up. She didn't shut up, and they fired her. So now she's working for the Family Research Council, and she was asked a question on this video. It was Tony Perkins, the president of the Family Research Council. He asked her, have you tried to get some support from the churches and the pastors? And she said, I'm so glad that you asked me that. She said, we called 150 churches. And out of 150 churches, 7 responded. And all they were asking them was for support. Not money support. Just if they could put them down in order so they would have a list of churches that are against this transgender policy and what these mandates and so forth. Out of 150, only 7 responded and said, you could put me on the list. And she said, the 2 most common excuses was, number 1, we don't want to get political. And number 2, we might think, they thought that it might be unloving. Those 2 reasons are why what would it be? 143 churches said that they didn't want to get involved. They didn't want to put their name on the list. If you want to know why America is declining, you don't have to look any further than that. And that's really discouraging. It's actually pathetic.
Did it say how large those churches were?
No.
They asked
no.
If it was your largest.
I don't know. But that is not necessarily a clear indication across the nation. In fact, this survey was taken in Washington State.
Oh.
And it's kind of liberal anyway, but still, that is there shouldn't be one that would decline to stand up against something like this. One other thing, if you go to this website, frc.org/privacy, if you scroll down on that link, you'll see a pamphlet there. It's called A Parent's Guide to Transgender Movement. A Parent's Guide to Transgender Movement. I've read it. It's excellent. And you can just click on it and you can download it for free. If you don't have a computer, I've got some copies here of what was in that pamphlet. So if you don't have a computer or you just, for whatever reason, if you have a computer and you can download it, right, you do it that way. But I have a dozen, maybe 13 copies here. And if you'd like to get one of these, just come up and get it. And I'm going to put, if we have some left, I'll have some for the folks on Sunday. Okay, that's part of what I was going to give you. There's one other thing. See, I think we need to be on top of these things, that we're not ignorant of what is going on in our own state, especially. Now, here's another one. I think I'll put this one on the board so you can see it as well. This was a press release from Chris Ann Hall. She joined C-SPAN to educate Americans on their rights. Y'all remember Chris Ann Hall? She's Liberty First, I believe, is what her organization is. Excellent communicator and very knowledgeable. Anyway, she's going to have a class on the duty of each state functioning as a constitutional republic. She's going to be speaking in Welburn, Florida, February the 15th, 2017. And she's a constitutional and education and consulting expert. And let me get down here to where Ms. Hall, see these right here?
Yeah.
These February the 19th at 7 p.m. Central Time is going to, she's going to have this class. And on February the 20th, the next day, she's going to have that class on 11 a.m. On the 19th at 7 p.m. and on the February the 20th, it's 11 a.m. And here it is down here. Let's see if I can make this. Well, I want to give it a yellow background so you can see it well. There, and I'll make everything bigger here. Okay. So here is, what is that doing up there? Okay, here is the website here. You go to info@chrisannhall.com. info@chrisannhall.com.
That's the email.
Oh, that's the email. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
It's this top one then here, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Here it is. That's the one you want. It says HTTP and all that, but I think all you have to do is go to chrisannhall.com, and that's spelled KRISANNEHALL.com. I'll get rid of this. Okay, there it is right there. For more information about Chris Ann Hall or about the C-SPAN event, contact Chris Ann at her website, You can, if you want to, you can copy this down. I don't think it's necessary, but she's got http://KRISANNEHALL.com. And you get more, you'll have a, what she's going to do is give you a link there. And then you can go to that. Let me tell you, this gives you a little more information about this class. She said, it says, when asked about who this class is for, Ms. Hall said, quote, "This is a class for Republicans and Democrats alike. Constitutional truths have no relevance to party affiliation. It's not a class that is shrouded in legal jargon. It's not written just for attorneys. It is given in a plain, everyday English so that everyone, no matter who they are, can understand and apply these essential truths. This is an education that should be taught in all our public schools. C-SPAN will broadcast this 75-minute class on," and here's the dates again, "February 19th at 7 p.m. and February the 20th at 11 a.m. in the morning." Okay, y'all got that? Okay. Everybody got it? I don't want to close it till you got it, till you have it. Okay.
You know, the Boy Scouts gave in on the transgender.
Oh, I know, yeah. Just about everybody has. But there are some holdouts. At least we have people fighting it now. Okay, now we're going to continue, and we're going to end in just a few moments our discernment subject matter of entertainment. But we have just a little bit more to go. I'm going to get this as big as I can for you. Okay, let's see how this is going to work up here. Okay, y'all see that okay? Okay. We've been talking about, we ended up here about the manners that we all should have when we're a host or hostess, and the manners we should have when we're a guest. We went over that. I shouldn't have to teach that, but I do these days, and I know most of y'all are at the age where I feel pretty sure that your parents drill that into you as well. But this goes out over the internet, and there are young people that get on here as well, and they maybe have not heard this before. And so we're on lesson 93. It's on lesson 92. If you go to that online, you'll go through and see that proper etiquette for hosts and hostesses and for those who are visiting. Very important. It should be the standard protocol for everyone, but especially believers who are ambassadors for Christ. All right, we're going in this last part that has to do with entertainment, and it has to do with sports. Sports is a huge form of entertainment that has its problems as well. We were talking about all these other areas of entertainment that have problems, especially when you get into movie stars and movies and TV and all the other things. Oh, Garth is here. I'm going to show him. I'm going to digress just a second. Let's see if I... Yeah, here we are. Garth, we were so sad that you weren't here Tuesday night because we were going to have you explain these things to us. Now we live in a digital age where we have CDs, DVDs, MP3s, desktop computers, laptop computers, iPads, iPods, iTablets, iPhones, VCRs, podcasts, live streaming, and all types of social media, Facebook and Twitter.
You want me to do that tonight?
No. No, I'm just saying that we were all sad that you weren't here so you could really give us a definitive explanation about all of these. I know you can. But, fortunately, we're going to move on. And if you ever hear that disc, you're going to hear me say that we are very sad that Garth was not here tonight to elaborate on these things for us. Okay, so... sports is a huge form of entertainment, has its problems as well. It has been elevated to a place where it has become a religion for many. Many people have an undying allegiance to their favorite football team, baseball team, basketball team, or race car driver. They may not know their children's school teacher or their Sunday school teacher, who they are, but they know everything there is to know about their favorite team and their favorite athlete. You may know some people like that. There are a lot of them. Before I go on, there are people, especially when I was younger and I was in construction, there were certain things you didn't do, especially when it came to sports. One thing you did not do is besmirch the Dallas Cowboys. You may not live through the day if that was done publicly. And they knew all the stats, and they would go to the death defending their team. And it was an insult to say that they were anything less than the best team that had ever been put together. And these people, I don't know how much they spend on all the garb that they wear to these games. Have you seen some of these? Did you see the people at the Super Bowl, what all they were wearing? It would probably be about $1,000 if you bought it at the Super Bowl, if you got a hat and all the paraphernalia they had. Anyway, you know the type that I'm talking, and they are religious in going to the games. They'll go out of state to the games. They have the, what do they call it, the tailgaters. Tailgaters. They have tremendous amount of money involved, and you know, I'm not saying that this is bad. They can do whatever they want to do. But it is, they know nothing about the Bible. They this is what they live for. And that's why sometimes when you see a team lose, you even see violence after it sometimes, because the people just can't take it. There's big money in sports, and it costs big money to attend college and professional games. The lowest price for a Super Bowl ticket this year was around $1,500. And that was down from what it had been in the past, because the NFL has lost money this year. I don't say lost money. They made less than they ever have. And I think it has a lot to do with this Roger Goodell, who was not, I don't think, was really keeping the NFL in the position it should be when it comes to patriotism and morals. The big names in sports make very unseemly vast amounts of money just to play a game. Here's an example. J.J. Watt plays for the Texans, and he signed a $100 million contract. That's $100 million contract over a period of over a 6-year period. He's only 25 years old, and that it's very difficult for someone 25 years old to take on that kind of fame, that kind of wealth, without being ruined by it. Most of them are. But as far as J.J. Watts is concerned, as far as I can tell, he has is a sterling example of what they should be. I mean, he volunteers. He doesn't appear to be like he's stuck on himself. Limited amount of knowledge I have about him, I say kudos to him, especially being 25 years old. This is, I broke this down because I think in terms of what somebody makes in an hour. Look at this. So if you break down that $100 million over 6 years, that's $16.66 million a year, over $16.5 million a year. He plays about 12 games a year. Each game lasts about an hour. And he actually plays only half of that time because he only plays on defense. So that means that each game he plays about a half an hour. A half an hour of time, which would be half an hour, or would be half an hour each game. You got it? Because each game is an hour. He plays 12 games. And he only plays, if he plays the whole time, about a half hour for each game. 12 games a year. So he actually makes about $2,766,666 per hour. Of course, this does not include practice time and travel time to games, but most people would be willing to trade salaries with him, wouldn't you? Can you imagine? I think my math is right. Someone can check me on it. But they only play 12 games, and he only plays half of that 12 games.
I don't want to mess you up, but they're up to 16 games now.
Oh, they're up to 16? Okay. Well, they probably, even if they didn't tack it up for them, I think he could live with that.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to show you, if it's 16 games, I've got 12 games. But if it's 16, let's say if it's 16 games, he only makes $2,466,666. That's per hour. Have y'all ever thought about it that way? I tell you, I've played football in my time, and these people are supposed to be professionals. And they get paid big bucks. I mean, in the millions of bucks. And like I said, they really only play at most, usually, a half an hour a week actually playing. And then I see these people who are professionals playing, they're paid all this big money. They might be a wideout. And I see them, the quarterback throws the ball to them, and they have their hands like that. It hits them right in the chest and falls out of their down on the ground. I've seen them hit them in the head with it before. These are professionals that are doing this. And, you know, we're all human. I'm not trying to be too hard on them. But I can't abide these players who strut about like they're somebody. They get paid that much money to play a game, and some of them aren't that good at it anyway. And they act like they're better than somebody else. Anyway, what this does is show how out of kilter our whole society is. Actually, we're just talking about entertainment, and it's just a game. And if they want to pay that money to somebody, they ought to be paying it to our veterans or the people who are in the military who are out there defending this country. They're the real heroes. And yet, they can't even make it on to feed their families. That's just how out of kilter things are. Now, some sports have become so important to many that they have eclipsed spiritual life of many believers. School sports, and Little League now schedule games on Sunday mornings during church time. So many Christian parents miss church so that their child won't miss a game. And I say, shame on them. Shame on the schools, shame on the Little Leagues, anybody that has games during the time that we are to be at church and worshiping our God, shame on them. But I say shame on the parents as well. And the reason is because if the parents said, no, we're not going to miss church to play, have our children play a game, if enough Christians do that, they'd have to change their ways, wouldn't they? They'd have to say, well, I guess we can't play on Sundays, but there's not a Christian parents to do that. And so they are teaching their children the wrong priorities. They're teaching their children that social life and our sports are more important than their spiritual life. There's no way to get around it. That's what they're teaching their children. And that's why I say shame on them. That doesn't mean that we're any better, but this is something that is more prevalent. Even when I come to church sometimes and they have things going on during church time, it didn't used to be that way. Used to be on Sundays, nobody did anything except go to church. There were some people who were working because you got to have nurses and police and ambulances and all this type of thing. So, here's a few scriptures to underscore what I just gave you. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Have you ever heard that before? That means that our spiritual food is more important than our physical food, and if it's more important than our physical food, it's surely more important than a ball game. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13. Take hold of instruction, that is Bible doctrine. Do not let her go. Guard her, for she is your life. It should be our life. Showing the importance of getting spiritual instructions. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 through 25. And let us take thought of how to spur one another on to love and good works, not abandoning our own meetings as some, that would be church meetings, as the habit of some are doing. That means some of them were missing church back then, and he is condemning them for it. Well, you can already see here what I've got started here. We're switching gears now. We only have this subject and one more subject left. And the discernment. We've been on it a year and 2 weeks. This is the second week that we have been after a year that we spent on this. When I started this, I told you that I don't know how long this is going to take. It might take a month. It might take 2 months. Well, I'm not very good at estimating in those things. But the reason I even started this is because it's one thing to know doctrine. And you know that we are to apply doctrine to our circumstances. But we have to use discernment in doing that. Because as we take the Word of God and we try to apply it to our circumstances, there is a right way and a wrong way to do it. And what I'm trying to present to you is the right way to apply doctrine in all of these different areas of life. And so now we're on money. So I start like this. Let's start with a loaded question. How much money does it take to make you happy? You heard it, so let's think about that. How much money does it take to make you happy? Have you ever thought about that? Don't lie. I mean, I'm not going to ask anybody what it is anyway. But I mean, some of you might be thinking correctly, and maybe some of you are not. I don't know. But you should already know the answer to that. And the answer to that is, there is no amount of money that can make anyone happy, is there? Well, some people will say, okay, I know that. Well, my next question is, how much money would you be content with? I'm not talking about happiness now, we're just talking about contentment.
J.J.
Watt's salary. You think you make it on this? I think I could be content with that. And the reason, just keep that in the back of your mind. We won't get to it tonight. I don't think we're going to have enough time, but I'm going to address that again later. But these are questions that I think are proper to ask when we're talking about money. Money is a loaded word, isn't it? It affects all of us in one way or another. There are millions of people that would answer that question with a certain amount. Millions of people buy lottery tickets with less than 1 in a million chance of winning in hopes that it will bring them happiness. Why do people go out and stand out sometimes in the cold or in the rain in these long lines to buy a ticket to win the Powerball? Ball. I can't even say it right. The Powerball. And I'm not condemning these people. You can spend your money on any way you want to. It's your money, and if you want to go out there and use $100 bills to light your cigars, that's up to you. It's your money, you earned it. But what I'm saying is, I think the motivation behind that, and it may be fun, I've never done it. Maybe there, while you're in line, you're talking to other people, or what is your numbers, and blah, blah, blah. I don't know, maybe it's a social event. But I have a suspicion that behind it is they're thinking, if I hit that Powerball, I'm going to be content. Moreover, I will really be happy then. And yet, what do they say about the people who have won the lotteries? What have they said? Do y'all remember? Have y'all ever heard that? They said if they had to do it over again, they'd rather not win. It ruined their lives. Most people can't handle that kind of prosperity. But what people don't realize is with more money comes more problems. Aren't you glad? I mean, I don't know what anybody makes here, but I don't think maybe there's anybody here that's independently wealthy. I mean, certainly not falling in the J.J. Watt category. These days, it used to be that people would think, if I had $1 million, I would be on Easy Street. Remember Michael J. Anthony and the Millionaire? That used to be a TV show. And Michael J. Anthony had a benefactor, and he would get somebody completely oblivious, just I don't know how they chose him, but just that maybe at random, whatever it is. And his job was to go and to give them a check for $1 million, but the thing is they could not tell anybody who it came from. And that was big. Today, $1 million doesn't look so big, does it? A lot of the homes, I don't know around here, well, some of them, I know some of the homes around here are over $1 million, but you go in Houston, it's pretty commonplace. If they're not $1 million, they're right there close to it. So when I was thinking about how much money would it take, I don't think there'd be many people now saying, oh, if I could only have $1 million. I think it would have to be, what, 10 million? The fact is that these people that I said are playing Powerball, and there are a lot of people out there, when they're thinking about it, they actually have some number, maybe not an exact number, but if they say, even if I didn't win the Powerball and win you know, gazillion dollars, they have lesser amounts that you can win if you come in so many numbers, I think, and you miss it by one number. I think they have a prize for that as well. And it might be $200,000. Well, that's a lot of money, but you can't live on it all that long. I mean, if that's all you have, and I don't know, maybe some people could, but the point is, there is no figure that is going to make you happy, because when you make, the more money that you have, the more problems you have. And what I kind of got sidetracked there. What I was trying to say is I don't think any of us here necessarily have the kind of problems that come with millions and millions of dollars. And they are problems. See, what people do is they trade the problems they have now, in a lot of cases, that's not enough money, for a new set of problems when they have a lot of money. They don't have so-called kinfolk knocking at their door that they've never met before and say, oh, Uncle Henry, how are you? We've missed you so much. And you don't even know who they are. You don't have the problem of saying, okay, well, I'm going to be generous to this person. Now this person over here hates you. That happens as well. You don't have to worry about, what are you going to do with all this money? How are you going to keep it? By the way, I'm getting ahead of myself. That's one of the big problems. Probably the number one problem of people who have millions and millions is how are they going to keep those millions and millions? Because it's depreciating every day. And so if you have to invest it, are you going to invest it right? You have people who are going to try to steal it from you. All these things. You don't have any of those problems. The bottom line is what I'm saying. If you are not content in the financial situation that you are in now, if you are unhappy because you're not making as much as you would like to, or you're not making as much as someone else does, if you're not happy now in that situation, you will never be happy if you win the Powerball or anything else. It's showing that you do not have capacity for life. Because how much money you have doesn't really have anything to do with your capacity for life. What gives you capacity for life is the Word of God circulating in your stream of consciousness. When you can apply unconditional or impersonal love to people who are offensive, people who hate you, when you can have a relaxed mental attitude, when you can be able to just go through the storm and on the other side recognize that it was the Lord who brought you through it and that you're humble, when you have these types of things, money is no issue whether you have gobs of it or whether you have hardly any of it. That's what people are missing. Money, do I have it on board? Yeah. That looks better up there than it does on my screen. Wow. Money is just a commodity, but it could be characterized. Did I put comedy?
Yep.
We'll just leave that there. It'll be a comedy for us. That is a true statement too, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I should pretend that that's the way I want it. The reason I spelled comedy because I don't know how to spell commodity. But it didn't fly, did it? Okay. Money is just a commodity, but it could be characterized as being dangerous, couldn't it? I mean, cotton is a commodity. It's not dangerous, is it? Watermelons, wheat, steel, all these things are commodities. But we don't think about them as being dangerous because they do not have the power that money has. So, it has nothing to do with money, with the money itself. I mean, if you take out a dollar bill, you don't have to worry about it exploding or burning your hand. It's not dangerous in that fashion. And so it doesn't have anything to do with the money itself, but with the greed and the lust that people have for it. That's why it is dangerous and powerful. We all depend on money to buy the necessities of life in order to live. So, what should be our attitude towards money? Fortunately, we are not left to figure that out for ourselves because the Scriptures have much to say about it, about money. So let's look at a few Scriptures. Well, not two Scriptures, I've got one more paragraph here. Money has become the god of many people and millions have been enslaved by it. They live their entire lives trying to acquire money to preserve the money they have, rather than being satisfied enough to and comfortable for a comfortable lifestyle for themselves and their family. So they live their entire life trying to acquire money or preserve the money they have, rather than being satisfied with enough to have a comfortable lifestyle for themselves and their family. Now we all want to have a comfortable lifestyle for ourselves and our family. We all strive to do that. Sometimes we are successful, sometimes we have to do without. Sometimes we might have to be eating wieners instead of steak. But we persevere. But there are people who want more than that. Their whole life isn't just to be satisfied with enough to be comfortable. They want to be above the rest. They have a greed, a lust for money. They are infected with greed, having an insatiable lust not only for a luxurious lifestyle, but also for the intangible things money cannot buy. What's the matter, Cindy?
Can buy.
What did I say?
Cannot buy.
Okay. I guess I might put my glasses on.
Yeah.
Okay. So they are infected with greed, having insatiable lust, not only for a luxurious lifestyle, but also for the intangible things money can buy, such as power, fame, and status. And that means more to them than the material things, usually. People who have so much money. You know, you think about these people who have so much money. J.J. Watt is a good example. We were talking about him. And he's satisfied with it. In fact, in an article I read that he wasn't motivated by money. He was motivated in order to be the best that he can be. He wants to be the best lineman in football. The best player, lineman, in football. He is. I think if I was the owner, I might say, if that's not motivating, you maybe better spread that money around a little bit. But this is what they're really after. I'm talking about the people who want to be rich. Power is power. See, money and power go together. Fame, you can buy fame. How many people do you know that are rich and they have no talent and yet they're famous? Well, all you got to do is watch a movie or watch TV, whatever. They're everywhere. And status. They want to be noticed. They want to be above the fray, above the hoi polloi. If someone has a 300-foot yacht, they want a 500-foot yacht. Why? What difference does it make? I mean, they probably won't be on it. They want to be in the top tier. They want to be better than someone else. And that is that should not be the motivation of us. Here we get to some of the scriptures dealing with this. Matthew 16:19-21. Do not lay up for yourself treasures upon the earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Remember I said when you have money, you have problems? Here's some of the problems right here. Verse 20. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. Listen to this. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. People spend money according to what their heart is interested in, according to what they desire. Most people, even some Christians, never give a thought about laying up treasures for themselves in heaven. Have you ever thought about that? There are Christians. I know, because one time I was one of them. I was living for the here and now. And very seldom would I ever get a thought towards the other side of this temporary life. What it was going to be about, how I was going to fit in, what it was going to be like or anything else. And that's the way most people, I think probably that nearly all unbelievers, they don't think about heaven that much except thinking, well, maybe I'll go to church every once in a while, or I'll volunteer, I'll do something just to kind of hedge my bets. If there is a God and there is a heaven, maybe this will help me get in. That's about as much as they think about heaven. But even believers don't think about heaven. They don't think about how temporary this life is. And they certainly aren't thinking about laying up treasures in heaven. By the way, there's a lot of believers, they don't even believe that there's going to be treasures in heaven. They think that we're all going to be equal. We're all going to be the same. There's no such thing as rewards and decorations and all this thing. That we're all just going to be the same. Well, what's the fun in that? And it's not so. It's not true here. And it's not true there either. The Bible is always encouraging us and imploring us to stay the course all the way to the end, because it's going to be worth it. Paul said this little bit of suffering we have here can't even start to be compared to the weight of glory and wonderful things that we'll have in heaven. But are we thinking about those things? There's going to be a funeral tomorrow from some of us know who the family who died. And a lot of times that's the only time any people think about heaven is when they go to a funeral. That's why it's so important, I think, for a pastor to give the gospel, because they're already thinking about something that they normally don't think about. And they see a person that they love, and they're dead, they're no longer here, and they see their own mortality, and they are ripe to hear the gospel, to tell them the good news, and that you don't have to work for it. So they don't think about heaven. They do not have a personal sense of eternal destiny. And when you make decisions, listen to this very carefully. When you make decisions in the here and now based on what is going to happen in eternity, then you are using a personal sense of eternal destiny. And that's what we all should be doing. The older you get, the faster life goes. You all know that. And I'm not 70, but I'm pushing it. And in my life, some of you are older, some of you are younger, but I can look back in my life, where did it go? I mean, for a teenager, 70 years old, you might as well dig a hole and kick them in. They're just, you know, they're on the edge, just go ahead and give them a nudge. But it doesn't seem that way to somebody who's 70, does it? Or 80, or 90. They never give a thought about treasures in heaven. They think only about the things of this earth and details of their life. It's true that we all must think about details of life as we go through our daily routine, but we don't have to be consumed by them. That's the only thing most people ever think about. It's just the details. I have this, that, and the other thing to do, and they're busy, and then they sit down, and they're entertained. They just never think of the big picture of what's really important in life. And that's such a shame. There is more to lives, it's more to our lives than our physical world. We also have, or should have, a spiritual life. That's what these people are missing. And don't think it's just unbelievers that don't have a spiritual life. There's a tremendous amount of believers who don't have a spiritual life. Because a spiritual life is having a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ and allowing the Holy Spirit to empower us and train us and direct us. And so many people don't even have a clue what that is about. And that's really sad. So what we should be thinking about is we should be building up treasures in heaven. I got to close, but I'll leave you with this. I'll leave you with this to think about. Maybe I'll ask you when we start next Tuesday, God willing. How do you build treasures in heaven? That's what, did you notice this verse? But, see, this is second sentence here, verse 20. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Do you know that lay up is a imperative mood? We're commanded to lay up treasures in heaven. What does that mean? We all better start volunteering. We all better start looking for ways, old ladies, to get across the street. What does it mean and how do we do it? That's what we'll think for next time. We'll begin with that and then we'll continue. And I've got one of my favorite verses that has to do with money right under this line here that I'm saving for next time. So there's your hook right there. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you have informed us on all these practical aspects of life. We can go through life ignorant, trying to eke out some form or measure of happiness and contentment. But it always leaves us hollow when you're left out of it. Without a spiritual life, we get to the end and we wonder, is that all there is? But when we have a rich and vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ and through Him to you, then we have to look forward to phenomenal things in glory. Things that we can only imagine at this point, but eagerly and anxiously anticipate for our Lord to return and set everything straight. Help us to have a personal sense of eternal destiny. To think about what's next and to lay up treasures there, which gives us the abundant life here as well. We pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.
Like this, we can still manage it.
Okay. That is how we sit down. Mm-hmm.